Chapter 27. So long, Berlin. Hello, London and Chuck. The very next morning after East Berlin, I said my goodbyes to my blonde Berliner hostess, and I took a train to London to meet Chuck. You remember Chuck, the guy at Dean Witter who talked to Rich and got me my job back after I got fired during training that time. He also had helped me financially quite a few times over the years during my journey. I didn't bring up our relationship earlier in the book, but I need to bring it up now. Maybe I didn't bring it up before because it's a bit hard for me to explain, or even understand for that matter. Chuck and I had what you could call a special relationship when we both worked for Dean Witter back in Chicago. Soon after Chuck had talked to Rich DeMartini and gotten me my job back at Dean, we started to hang out as I only lived about a 5-minute walk from his place on Elm Street in Chicago. I used to go over to his place and he would give me massages and I was okay with it. They felt good. He'd say, "You want a header?" which meant a head massage. I loved massages and I'd always say yes. He gave me many massages during the time that I lived and worked in Chicago. I sort of figured he might be gay, but he never once touched me inappropriately nor hit on me in any way, so I just enjoyed the massages and that was that. To be honest, I don't remember the details about how and why we made the decision to meet in London, but the only thing that I could come up with is that I probably called him from Berlin to ask for money. Anyway, we arranged to meet in London, and so I took a train from Berlin, and when I got off the train, I put on my skates and skated over to Brown's Hotel, a 5-star hotel where we would be staying for 2 nights, and went inside, and Chuck was there waiting to greet me in the lobby. We went out to dinner those 2 nights and enjoyed each other's company, and even slept together in a double bed. I mean, he had never done anything inappropriate before, so it was no big deal. But that last night that we slept together, I woke up in the morning to Chuck masturbating me over the blanket. In other words, the blanket being the only thing between his hand and my thing. And I was shocked, and I shouted, "What the hell are you doing?" And he responded by pretending that he was just waking up, and he goes, "Huh? A what?" and smacking his lips together in sort of a wake-up type of way and pretending that he didn't know what I was talking about. I didn't make a big deal out of it, though if it was skin on skin, I may not have been so forgiving if you get my drift. Anyway, that day he was off to Sweden and I was off to Paris, and when we were saying our goodbyes, he asked me if I wanted to go to Sweden with him, and I declined, telling them that I had to return to Paris. I mean, getting jerked off once by him was quite enough as far as I was concerned. So Chuck heads off to Sweden, and I take a flight to Paris, which ended up being the flight of all flights. Talk about turbulence. Any description of this flight could never do it justice. From the time we got up to cruising altitude, that plane would drop like a rock, and then rise, and then drop like a rock, again and again, with debris flying all over the place. And that scenario took place the entire flight to Paris. It was terrifying for most on board, and perhaps even the captain. To understand this flight, you'd really have to have been there. Bob Dylan has a line in his song, "When I Paint My Masterpiece," that is relevant here, that says, "I left Rome and landed in Brussels on a plane ride so bumpy that I almost cried." At that time, though, I just wasn't bothered in the least. I think I was even laughing and shouting, "Yeehaw!" I just had zero fear in those days. Boy, I wish I could get that attitude back again. If that happened to me today, I'd probably have a heart attack, but back then it just didn't bother me. Don't ask me why, because I have no clue. Anyway, and this next thing I'll never forget. When we got near Paris and we were getting ready to land, the pilot got on the PA and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is the pilot speaking, and I just want to say that in all my years as a pilot, this is the roughest flight that I've ever flown." And that story, my friends, is verbatim. End of chapter.